Unless you're keeping score at home, you may not realize that when we go through a liturgical year through the year, there's a gospel each year that's highlighted. This past 12 months, we've been in the Gospel of Luke. Doesn't mean every lesson comes from that, but as we follow through, it allows us every 3 years to have gone through the Gospels, and of course, John we encounter in special ways as well. So we sort of move forward to the end of Luke's Gospel here on this Christ the King Sunday. And as Pam so shared so powerfully, this image of a king sets in our mind one thing, but the Gospel shows us the unique and powerful side of our God. And so the scripture this morning comes from the 23rd chapter, where we encounter Christ into his kingship in a way that we can't begin to fathom, and certainly none that we would expect. It says that when they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at Jesus, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." And the soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering sour wine and saying, "If you're the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over his head that said, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanging there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you and I are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we're getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And then he asked Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. I love a story that starts this way, that the lady sat in Starbucks sipping coffee, because I think that's just the best thing ever. It seems like almost a sacrament in some ways. In this case, it was the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. And while she was kind of having her moment of zen and looking at her phone and enjoying her coffee, her mind started thinking about her family that was going to be coming for Thanksgiving there, her brother and sister-in-law and the kids and their dog. And she hadn't seen them for a year, and it's going to be very exciting to be coming. And that conversation and thought pattern led her to remember that there's a few things that she needed to get done before they got there tomorrow in anticipation. And so she kind of went to an app on her phone and started making a little bit of a list. And that list, well, I've got to do this, and I've got to set that, and I've got to iron this, and oh yeah, and I got to move that, and I got to get, and pretty soon that list got a little bit longer than she had anticipated, you know what I mean? And she started to feel a little bit uncomfortable even in her moment of zen that, well, she could have done a few of these things ahead of time and it would have been okay, probably would have helped. But the good news is, I've got time. They're not coming till tomorrow. I'm good to go. And of course, then is when her phone rang. "Hello? Hey, sis, where are you?" I'm saying, "Well, where are you?" And she goes, "Well, I'm in your driveway. You're supposed to be here." And she's like, "What? In my driveway? You're not supposed to be coming till tomorrow. Till tomorrow." And she got a little bit louder, and the people in the coffee shop started looking at what was going on. And he said, "Hey, no, check your text. We talked about this. We were coming today. We're here. Let's go." And about that moment, all level of Zen left her, and she cursed and knocked over coffee, which caused her to curse some more, and her voice got a little bit louder. And by this time, everybody was looking off of their phones and their coffee and saw this increasingly frazzled being rushing out, screaming, "Tomorrow! You're supposed to be coming tomorrow! I am not ready today! You were supposed to be here tomorrow!" Not today. Luke's gospel reminds us that this word today is so important. It's a consoling word, and it's also a challenging word, and it comes over and over again in Luke's gospel. Today, today. It's consoling because we think about, and we'll revisit very soon again, the angel of the Lord, you remember, over the fields speaking to the shepherds and said, "Today in the city of David, a Savior is born who is Christ the Lord." And then when Jesus began his earthly ministry and was in a synagogue in Nazareth, you may remember he read from the text of Isaiah the prophet, and he read the passage it described in Isaiah's words how the kingdom of God would be and would come. And as Jesus rolled up that scroll, he said to those gathered, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And as we maybe just caught in today's scripture, as Jesus was on the cross, he looks compassionately at the thief beside him and says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Today. Today. How consoling that it is that we follow a Savior who is willing to look us in the eye and say, "Today, you will be with me. Today, I will be with you." But if we're honest, many of us are a little more akin to the lady in Starbucks who we know in our mind that we need to attend to a few things in our hearts and our lives to get ready to really fully embrace Christ's arrival in our heart. There's some stuff that, yeah, we ought to address. There's some work that needs to be done. But honestly, I don't want to do it today. I got other stuff going on for this spiritual work. Not today, sometime. In fact, it gets a little agitating. It can't mean today. I don't want it to be today. Because I would rather sit at Starbucks or Bojangles and look at my phone or pontificate on how, if we were in charge, we would solve all of the world's problems. We've had those conversations. We want some time, and we want to tell ourselves that we've got lots of time, plenty of time to do that spiritual work, all of that today. We got tomorrow, Lord, we'll get around to that. Some other day. That is important, but some other day, not today. You see, if Christ really wants his kingdom, his kingship, to become concrete in our lives today, this means that he is acting in our life today. And that our lives then need to change today. If Christ wants to be concrete and powerful in our life today, that means that you and I are going to have to respond to what he's doing in our life today. Now, when I speak for myself, but at least in my life, I want to say that it can't be today, right? Like, I get all of that, but not right now. I'm not ready today. It feels safer often to simply say, you know, the salvation and the holiness and the relationship with Jesus, all of that is wonderful and great, but it'd be better if you delayed it just a little while into the future. You know what I'm saying? Sometime later would be better because then I won't have to respond to it right now. I can tuck it away, I can pack it away, I can let it rest and ultimately let it become inconsequential to my life. It reminds me sort of like when I was growing up, there was a motel that wanted to attract people to be there, and their sign outside said, "Free crab legs, all you can eat tomorrow." And that sign stayed up there for years. But Luke says tomorrow doesn't work. That's not how the story goes. Jesus didn't say, "Tomorrow you'll be with me in paradise." He said, "Today." He didn't say, "Tomorrow the scripture will be fulfilled." He said, "Today the scripture is fulfilled." The angel didn't say, "Tomorrow there'll be a Savior born." The angel said, "Today the Savior is born." In the New Testament, so much of understanding Christ's movement and work, his truth hangs on this one word, today. And for Jesus, God's today was the center of everything. All of these amazing promises that were made to Israel, Jesus understands that in him, in that place, today, these blessings are here and now, happening today. Now you and I will not miss Christmas. You and I won't miss getting ready for Thanksgiving. But when it comes to this work, today doesn't necessarily have the same power in our lives as those dates. But if we have faith in what Jesus says, not just believe, but we have faith in what Jesus says, it means that it's not just, it means that we're set free today. That we are set free from our obsessions today. That we're set free from those obsessive compulsions which try to control us. We're set free from the selfishness that causes us to judge our neighbor and not love our neighbor. We're set free from that today. We can be free by Jesus so that we can breathe again in the power of Jesus, so that we can trust again in Jesus' love, so that we can live again because Jesus is alive in us, not sometime later, but when? Today. And today is a scary word. It's right upon us. It doesn't give us wiggle room. And Luke knows this. And Jesus really, really, really means it when he says we can be with him today. That we can expect his power today. That we can live in his kingdom today. But that means that we have to be willing to change today. And then I say, it can't be today. You don't mean like today, today. I enjoy sitting at Starbucks and being distracted by my phone. I like making lists, especially the spiritual lists. You know which ones? Like, well, I'm going to do all of these things and take care of all of this spiritual work, you know, tomorrow. Someday, but not today. But you see, this is the truth, and it's important. God isn't hesitant. God doesn't wait. But human beings, we're hesitant to turn our lives to God, to turn our lives around. And sometimes people don't even want to get too close to God. You and I don't want to get too close to God, this nowness, this today, when we'll make up all sorts of what we think are honorable excuses. And you know what I'm talking about. Well, Lord, I will. If you, I will. I promise. I'll do. Oh, God, you understand all of these excuses. But listen. Jesus' word today means I don't have any more time to waste. And I don't have any more time to wait. Just listen to the world for 5 minutes and you'll know this is the truth. Listen to the world for 5 minutes. Listen to your own self for 5 minutes. And if you were outside of yourself and listening, you would say, there is no more time. You need today. And we've been called to act today because we've been called by God's Son. Jesus, you have put all of your existence on the line for us. You've given us your power and your spirit here and now. We've received your invitation, and the invitation is given today. Brothers and sisters, do not forget, as the children were reminded, as the scripture reminded us, Jesus speaks this beautiful word today while he's hanging on the cross, while his head and hands and feet are bleeding, while his lungs are gasping for breath, Jesus says, today. As you consider this image of Christ on the cross, which we don't want to because we can't even look at it, it's so insistent, it's so upon us, we are reminded that the kingdom of God doesn't become concrete in us without sacrifice, without letting go. It doesn't come without daily dying. And I've shared for a year now how essential it is for us to die to ourselves as Christ called us to let our egos take second place to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that dwell with us, with every single day to say, I am no longer my own, but I am thine, the covenant prayer. This is essential in our world, in our life, today and every day. Because it doesn't come without sacrifice. It comes in no other way. And in the midst of a society, of a church, of a people who I promise we would rather do anything than to change something. And you know that about us well. It becomes clear the reign of Christ only through sacrifice. So today we can experience, come on, we can experience Christ's love, his power, his mercy and grace, but it means that today, not sometime in the future, we must remove these barriers. I must remove the barriers in my soul to this kingdom that has come. I must remove them with the help of God's grace and love and mercy. I must, with God's help, remove the greed in me. Are you with me? Remove the pride in me. Are you hearing me, church? Remove this love of comfort that is within me and may be within you. I must, with God's help, remove the ambition in me and the envy in me and, Lord knows, the anger in me. I must remove the laziness and the lustfulness, the self-centeredness, and the impatience in me. Come on, church. The impatience in our hearts. It's a barrier. We must remove these with God's help today. And today, with God's help, we must remove these bad habits, my messed up perspective and priorities, my messed up false sense of power. Today, I must embrace Jesus' beautiful vision for the world, a world of nonviolence, a world of economic justice and opportunity for everybody. And to do that, I must let go of some things that I thought for all of my life I was dead certain right about. But today, I've got to let them go. Today, I have to turn to Christ who says, come unto me. Today, I must be willing to sacrifice, to let go, so that why the poor may be fed, so that the lonely may be visited, so that the sick may be healed, so that those burdened with the world's injustice may have freedom. And, oh wait, is that today? Is that today? I thought that was like when I died and when Jesus comes back and all those things way down there. I thought that's when all of this happened. That's today? I thought it was, you know, tomorrow, like the free crab legs. Hey, serious business, brothers and sisters, check your Bible, look at the text, read the scriptures. You know, it is all about Christ becoming King and Lord and lover of your life today. So there's not a tomorrow to put down our coffee and our phones. It is the time to do that and to let go of all of these things that are in the way of today and to change, to be changed, to be liberated, to be set free, to be in this place with the one, listen, who promises you and you and you and me and this world, who promises us paradise today. This is Christ the King today. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us sing and give thanks in our closing hymn. Number 297. Let's stand and sing.